Now we will have our story for all ages. We welcome all of the children, parents, and anyone else who wants to come to the front. And Reverend Jane will be telling our story today.
Good morning, Megan. Hi, Gil. I'm glad you brought a pillow with you. Oh, good, you all have your pillows. Yay. All right. Hi. Come and sit down. The story today is actually based on a biblical passage from Ecclesiastes. And it's about everything under the sun. Today, our service, do you know what tomorrow is? What is it? It's Valentine's Day. And so today, we're going to be talking about, what is Valentine's Day all about?
Love.
Love. So today, we're going to be it's about cookies. And actually, a group of children yesterday were here for 2 hours cutting out cookies and decorating them, and they will be offered during coffee hour today on behalf of Valentine's Day. So today we're going to be talking about love up here. You did, I know. We're going to be talking about love up here. And love is what makes the world go round. No matter what happens in the world, no matter what you think about somebody or how you're feeling about somebody, if you just say something kind, then you are opening their hearts. And that's what we all need to remember to do. So this is a beautiful book called To Everything. And it's really the pictures in this book that are so lovely. It says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heavens. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pick. And make cookies. A time to tear apart, and a time to sew together. So if you make somebody feel badly, that's tearing them apart, isn't it? But if you make them feel better by saying, I'm sorry, you're sewing them back together. There is a time to cry, and there is a time to laugh. And a time to mourn, it means to feel very sad. And a time to dance when you feel very happy. A time to give, and a time to receive. So you can give love, and you can also receive love, can't you? A time to hold, and a time to let go. So sometimes if you're feeling mad at somebody and you feel just so mad and frustrated you don't want them to be your friend anymore, it's better to just say, oh, I do want you to be my friend. And then you're not mad anymore. There's a time to be silent, and a time to speak. So if you see that something's happening that makes someone else feel bad, don't just stand by silently. You have to say, don't do that. That's not nice because you made my friend feel sad. There's a time for love, and there's a time for anger. If somebody does something bad, you get to feel angry about that and say, that is wrong. There's a time for war, and there's a time for peace. And there's a time for cookies.
Okay, this guy really loves cookies.
To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heavens. And cookies are about love. All right, well, thank you very much for listening to the story this morning. Not long ago, I received an email from a man who contacted me about coming to church to see what it was like. This man didn't dare to just come to the church and trust that he would be welcomed as a gay man. even though we stated that we are a welcoming congregation. For him, because of the real world he lives in, where there is hatred and bigotry, abuse and violence, for someone who stands outside the center of some norm someone else has determined, he was worried. Worried that we might say we were welcoming, but that we might not really be that. Worried that there might be hypocrisy inside the walls of this church, as there is so often hypocrisy inside the walls of so many religious institutions. Were we really a different place to worship? He wanted to know. Was our church really a place where one is allowed to be oneself? I am a gay man just coming to terms with his homosexuality, he begins. How welcoming is your church? Do you have openly gay members? Are all members equally welcoming? I don't know if I consider myself out, but I'm working on it. But it's a slow process. I just feel very alone and tired. Shortly after I received that email, I started working on this service for today, the second annual Standing on the Side of Love service. The focus this year is on civil rights and equal rights, and a church can focus either on immigration issues or LGBT issues, and I chose the latter. One, because Prairie has focused a great deal on the complex issues of immigration and will continue to do so. And two, because lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender issues are in this room with us today, not only as a national issue, but as a highly personal issue. And it felt wrong to me to ignore that, to not face it head on, and make that our issue for this day. Here at Prairie, we have the unique distinction of having not only gay and lesbian members, but also transgender members. I say unique distinction because in a small congregation such as this, even in liberal Madison, it is a rare and courageous thing to have openly transgender people. And I'm not using the word courageous in terms of back patting or feeling some sort of pride on my part, but I use the word courageous because of the very real danger transgenders can find themselves in our still so behind the times culture here in America. But somehow that mix of courage to walk through these doors and Prairie's commitment to truly be a welcoming congregation to all who do so has worked. There has been honesty and openness and integrity on all sides, which has made today's service about standing on the side of love a service of truth. But the core issue that stands before us today, the core issue of equal rights and the dangers of not having those rights in place for everyone, put me in mind of the words from one of the songs from the 1947 musical South Pacific. While this song is speaking about racism, the message of hate and fear of the other is the common theme that my mind leapt to. And here are the words. You've got to be taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made and people whose skin is a different shade. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you are 6 or 7 or 8. You to hate all the people your relatives hate. You've got to be carefully taught. I want to ask this question today. Before we made our own first visit to this church, how many of us felt the need to contact the minister ahead of time to be sure it was really a safe place to come to? How many of us sitting here today worried that we would be shunned or ridiculed or worse if we came to this church and allowed ourselves to really be seen for who we are? How many of us needed to think about which bathroom to use before we pushed open the door that said men or women, not knowing how we would be watched or regarded, or worse, treated once inside those closed bathroom doors? What norm is so firmly in place in this country where still, in the year 2011, a person who is not heterosexual needs to feel worried about being accepted, needs to worry about being open about whom he or she is, who needs to worry that even in a place of worship, even a religious institution where God's love, or in whatever form or name it may have, may be espoused, but may not really be alive in the hearts and minds of the people sitting in the pews? What norm is so firmly in place in this country still that we as Unitarian Universalists feel proud and even courageous to be able to say that we are a welcoming congregation? Why are we not instead saddened or even angry that we have to say this? Saddened and angry that we live in a time where this must be said, because we are still so far from being a country where these issues of sexual orientation and gender identity were resolved long, long ago. Are we unique in our conservative stance toward LGBT communities in this nation? Well, yes. Compared to many parts of Europe, we are. Were you aware that for many gay partners in the United States, Europe offers them a safe haven? Did you know that 14 countries in Europe offer some sort of legal protection to same-sex couples? Denmark, Finland, Norway, Croatia, Germany, Switzerland, Sweden, Luxembourg, Scotland, France, Iceland, Portugal, Britain, and Hungary. This wasn't always the case, of course. Although same-sex relationships were quite common in ancient Greece, Rome, and the pagan Celtic societies, after Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire, several laws against homosexual behavior appeared and everything changed for the worse. An edict by the Emperor Theodosius I in the year 390 condemned all homosexual men to death by public burning. This was followed by the Corpus Juris Civilis of Justinian I in the year 529, which prescribed public castration and execution for all who committed homosexual acts. This law, called the Justinian Law Code, served as the basis for most European countries' laws against homosexuals for the next 1,400 years. And during those 1,400 years, homosexual behavior was considered a capital crime, and thousands of homosexual men were executed across Europe during waves of persecution in these centuries. Lesbians were less often singled out for punishment, but they also suffered persecution and execution from time to time. But finally, things began to change. Although various countries under dictatorships in the 20th century were still very anti-homosexual, such as in Nazi Germany and in Spain under Franco's regime, once Poland regained independence after World War I in 1932, it became the first country in 20th century Europe to decriminalize homosexual activity, followed by Denmark in 1933, Iceland in 1940, Switzerland in 1942, and Sweden in 1944. The situation was improving greatly, but certainly not perfectly. Far into the 1970s, homosexuality was still cited by the psychoanalytical world as being an illness in both Europe and in the United States. So in 1979, feeling that something must be done about the ludicrous identification of homosexuality being considered an illness, in a radical move, a large number of people in Sweden organized themselves and called in sick to their workplaces. With a case of being homosexual. This protest was followed by an activist occupation of the main office of the Swedish National Board of Health and Welfare. And within a few months, Sweden became the first country in the world to remove homosexuality as an illness. In 1989, Denmark was the first country in Europe and the world to introduce registered partnerships for same-sex couples. And then some 20 years later, in 2001, a next step was made when the Netherlands opened civil marriage for same-sex couples, which made it the first country in the world to do so. Since then, six other European states have followed suit. Belgium in 2003, Spain in 2005, Norway and Sweden in 2009, and Portugal and Iceland in 2010. In October of 2009, the Assembly of the Church of Sweden voted strongly in favor of giving its blessings to homosexual couples, including the use of the term marriage or matrimony. The new law was introduced a month later, and it is the first case in the world. And now here we are in the United States in the year 2011, with various states in our nation actively seeking to repeal the rights of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender communities. We are here celebrating today, standing on the side of Love Sunday, a day where within Unitarian Universalism we stand alongside of and advocate for those who are disenfranchised in our culture, in our country. Whether we are focusing on immigration rights or on the rights of lesbians, gays, bisexual, or transgender people. Today, here in our UU churches across the country, we are meant to feel proud and progressive, liberal, and the leaders in this nation by stating that we are a welcoming congregation. Well, certainly this is an important thing to say in these times and in this nation. But I would like us to look at this from another angle. From the angle that having to say that we are a welcoming congregation is really a strong reminder to us of how very far we have yet to go in this nation. For the people who belong to the LGBT communities in our country, there is profound unemployment, underemployment, physical and verbal harassment. The fact that trans people, particularly trans women, are the most likely to be killed among marginalized groups for who they are. That many are harassed, arrested, or attacked over which bathrooms they use. That gender variant children or children who are thought to be gender variant by classmates are the most likely to be bullied. And that this leads to depression at the least, and as it is for many adults, results in a high rate of suicide. And finally, that transphobia is alive and well, even here in Madison, the city that is called by many the San Francisco of the Midwest, for its liberalness and its queer population. Sadness is what I felt when I received the email I got from that young man. And sadness and anger were what I felt when I learned more about Tony and her life story. And concern and sadness and anger is what I felt for Sven's sake when I think of the enormous possible life of pain he has before him because of the great dangerous ignorance of the unwashed public in this nation, because of what is being so carefully taught beyond these doors. This great nation of ours is not progressing forward as it should be, but is instead in many, many ways going backwards. A day to stand on the side of love is a radical political day which we must pay attention to. Whether we are talking about slavery or women's rights or civil rights or immigration rights or LGBT rights, it all boils down to the same thing. The culture we live in, the prejudices that are being taught, and the ongoing work we must all do to counter those teachings through education and with love. There is a petition that is ready for you to sign today after the service, and I'm asking all of you to sign it so that full equality may fall upon the lives of those in the LGBT communities. And by God, I hope that next year, when this annual Standing on the Side of Love campaign comes around again, we are further down the road with regard to these rights. And I hope that our children here in this church are being carefully taught so that in their lifetime there will be no need for this annual campaign, but that it will be a thing of the past, and we will truly and finally be one country, indivisible, with liberty and justice for absolutely all. All humans need love, whether straight or gay, bi or transgender, black or white, short or tall, man or woman, the email finishes saying. Love nourishes the soul and the spirit, but so often for someone who is not heterosexual, not being able to be open about one's sexuality or about one's true gender identity can mean a life of loneliness or deceit, which can be a very difficult act to play. I just wish, above all else, to be able to be me. Thank you. And I just wanted to read the closing words. They're from Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And now I know only in part, and then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now I call forth to me faith, hope, and love, that they may abide, these three, and that the greatest of these is love. Thank you for today.